In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you've been reading through Hosea with us, and following what's been going on, we're at the end now of what's really been an incredibly intense and turmoiled marriage counselling session. And there's been furniture flying, people shouting and screaming, and one party saying, I can't do this anymore, I give up. And then saying, well, no, but I can't give up on this relationship. I'm committed 100%. And there's been this back and forward. And it's been messy. And you might be thinking, how can there ever be a resolution to this? Can there ever be a resolution to this? Can this couple ever be reconciled? Too much hurt has been caused. Too many lies. Too many affairs. Too much selfish behavior. Too much taking the other person for granted. And when we remember that the person who's been cheated on and lied to and used and treated disgracefully is the Lord God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, then that makes it even more extraordinary and intense. Because the living and eternal God has been treated shamefully by His church, His people, the ones He calls His bride. And it's so much more intense than any marriage counselling session we've ever seen, any films or dramas that have this at the centre of the story, where a couple is trying to resolve issues, getting back together. Maybe we've seen that in real life for ourselves, but this is so much more intense than that. And you'll remember, that's what the Lord Jesus is all about. That's what He set His heart on. And maybe you might want to drop, because I forgot about this, you might just want to drop, because in previous weeks we said about the fact that Hosea is all about this divine romance, this marriage. And maybe you've thought, I might want to draw that. I want to draw that, but I don't know how to. Maybe today you could maybe draw what God's wedding would look like. But that's what Jesus is all about. That's what He set His heart on. That's what He's dreamed about. That's where He's put all His focus and energy, all His hopes and dreams, into this divine romance, this marriage to church. And church is all of us who love and trust Him. And He's put everything on the line for this relationship. And yet church, His bride, has wandered away from the Lord Jesus again and again. And in Hosea's day, the Lord has made His church face up to this extremely tangled mess that they've got themselves in by wandering away from Him. So chapter after chapter, you might be thinking back, chapter after chapter of Hosea, He's exposed their maddening, disgusting behavior, the lovers they've gone after, their shameful thoughts and attitudes and actions, and the warnings they've ignored. Jesus is the emperor of the heavens and the earth. He runs the whole universe, and yet, church people in Hosea's day have thought, how will we get security in the modern world? Will we go to the divine emperor Jesus? Remember, we thought way back at the beginning, what things have gone wrong, what things have they done? Have they gone to the divine emperor Jesus for security in the modern world? No. They've gone to other kings and important people, like a king of Assyria. They've gone to him and he's like, Assyria, that's the future. That's the influencer that we need to follow so that we're accepted and secure in this modern world. And of course, we'll keep our hand in with the Lord as well. Thank you very much. Because He's good at giving us stuff. Good food and good wine and prosperity. All the material possessions and home comforts. He's quite good at all that. So we'll keep our hand in with Him a little bit. And we'll have all that no problem. All the money, stuff, possessions that we can get. But we're not just materialistic. We've got spiritual needs as well, of course. We're deeper than that. And there are good options for if we want a bit of that. Because Baal, he gives plenty of good parties. His crowd throw good parties. You've got fertility cults to get involved in. Some liberating experiences. and good times to help us feel good about ourselves. So this is these are the kinds of things that the church in Hosea's day had wandered away from the Lord Jesus to follow. And they've abandoned him and given themselves to all that and these other allegiances, these other lovers. They've gone to them and they've forsaken him. And now they're in a mess. And it's all coming back to bite them. They're in a heap of trouble, and judgment is looming on the horizon. You can see that at the end of chapter 13. These other lovers have taken. They've drained life. And soon they'll be back to demand even more. They'll be like, pay up. We're taking you for all you've got. And the church has got no one else to blame. See that in chapter 14, verse 1. The Lord says, your own sins have been your downfall. And what a tangled mess you're in. And this bride has wandered so far away from him. Is there any way back? And if there is, it seems like impossible to even think. Is there a way back because of this mess they've got themselves in? If there is, let's just think for a moment, if there is, the way back must surely be endless. Because there's so much to unpick. We've seen chapter after chapter of complex mess to unravel and sort out. So much to make up to him. But so much to make up to him. Don't even know where to begin. And we might even be exhausted just reading through those chapters and seeing that how much of a mess they're in. But what does the Lord say? He says, well, yeah, it is a mess. I've been telling you that for chapter after chapter. And you have wandered far away. There's no doubt about that. But look at verse 9. The Lord's like, it's a complicated mess that you've got yourselves in. But let me make it simple for you. If you want to see things rightly and be wise and get understanding, do you want that? Do you want to make sense of things? Do you want to clear away the mess and see clearly? Do you want to get what life's all about? Because it's like this. I'll make it simple for you. If you're with me, you're good to go. It's all good. If you're not with me, then it's disaster. See that? The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. So if you're with me, it's good to go. But if you're not, it is like disaster. And it's an either or as well. Either you're with Jesus, in which case you can stand tall, walk properly, live a full human life filled with the life of God, or you're against him. In which case you're down and you're never getting up again. You've just got none of that life and dignity he gives. You're just like a drunk stumbling in the dark. And the way the Lord puts it is fascinating, verse 9, because he says, the ways of the Lord are right, and the people who walk in them, walk in his ways, they walk easily. They walk easily. But he doesn't then say, the ways of the wicked are wrong. People who walk in those ways stumble and fall. He doesn't say that. So you could just say, the ways of the Lord, people who walk in his ways, they walk easily. But the people who walk in the way of the wicked, they stumble and fall. He doesn't say that. He just says the ways of the Lord are like this. And that's it. The ways of the Lord. It's like there isn't really such a thing as the ways of the wicked. They're not even worth mentioning. They're nothing in the end. And the only reality is the Lord and his ways. And there's no avoiding that. You're surrounded by his reality and his ways and his life in every detail of his heavens and earth. You either surrender and go with him, or you meet him head on and you get knocked down and you fall over to the ground. It's either that, either or. So the ways of the Lord, you either walk in his ways or that's it really. It's idiotic disaster otherwise. And it's an absolute choice. There's only one way to go. It's the Lord and his life, or it's face down in the dust. But then, given it's as simple and stark as that, that brings clarity to the whole thing. The Lord's like, yeah, this has been a complicated mess over all these chapters and this long marriage counselling session. All these issues seem impossible to like figure out and unpick. But he says, no, it is simple. Yes, your sins have been your downfall, but, verse 1, return to me. Return, Israel, to the Lord your God. Return to me. And you might think, well, surely it can't be that simple, because I've wandered so far away. But he's like, no, it is that simple. Just return. Because do you ever find that sometimes if you've drifted away into worldliness and selfishness and things like that, sometimes you might think, well, it's going to be such an effort to get back close to the Lord. It's going to be hard work. So I get like that because I can convince myself that it's a long journey back and I've got to really turn things around and I've got to sort so many issues out. But, so I get like that. But when I do try to turn around and just reach out to the Lord, so often he's right there. And it's like that James 4 passage that Libby read for us. James 4, where it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" And that's a heavy challenge because you're like, well, I am friends with the world in some ways, so I must be an enemy of the Lord God. I love the world too much. I'm too much in love with the world, but I don't want to love the world. I want to love the Lord God, but he feels so far away. And then James 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. When we say, no, I want to come near to the Lord God, but he feels so far away, but I want to reach out to him and draw near to him, then he rushes out towards us and says, okay, yes, I'll draw near to you. And it's not a long journey from one side to the other. The Lord isn't like, yeah, come on, you've got a long way to go. Come try to get to me. He's moving back a bit and stuff. It's not like that. He's like, if you try to draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He comes and draws near to us. To go from loving the world to loving the Lord is not a long journey. You just turn around and say, I want to draw near to the Lord. And then he comes and finds you. And he says, don't worry, I've got you. And he puts you on his shoulder, he takes you home. And sometimes it's like, we'd be like, Lord, you can't restore me like that instantly, just like that. And he says, no, I totally have done. You're restored. But isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? That we think he's so far away, got so far to go to get, like to even to begin to reach where he is. But the slightest kind of sense that he has that we're reaching out to him, he's like, yes, runs to us. And the beautiful thing that happens from verse 2 of Hosea 14 is that the Lord Jesus basically gets his arm around us and says, nah, look, it's difficult to repent properly. It honestly it is, but don't worry. I'll repent with you. I'll show you how to repent. It's not that hard to return. Listen, just say this. Just say this. Say what I'm saying right now. Yeah. Because I'm with you every step of the way. Got my arm round you. I'm with you. Isn't that wonderful? It's lovely because when Jesus says, this is what you should say when you return to the Lord. And he puts his arm around us and he says, Just say these words with me. You don't know how to repent, but I do. And I'll repent with you. And then the words that he gives them to say are so amazingly simple and straightforward, because he cuts through all the mess that has seemed so complicated. And he says, just say this simple little speech. Nothing complicated, it's primary school level. Just small words, simple sentences, and it'll show you what's what. Just say, Lord, will you take away all my sins? Will you sort them out and forgive me? Will you be my friend again? I've done nothing to deserve it, but will you take me back? I'm in. I want all I say and do to be good. I want to share life with you again. Help me to do what I say. I admit nothing can save me except you, not Assyria or anybody. I'll stop worshipping things I've made. I'll not live selfishly, but in fact, I'll start looking after kids who are in trouble, just to make, like, for a start. So I'll do these, help me, Lord, just help me do these good things, the stuff that you love, and I'll do that. And then all the bad stuff, I'll just say no to that. And that's basically what that prayer is saying. That's it. It's incredibly lovely and simple. Simple little speech that he gives them to say. Just like, say after me, we're turning to you. We're stopping that. And here's some practical steps to help us start living the life of God as his church. It's like, this is all you need to say. Just do that. And literally just talk kind of like that in small words and simple sentences. Like, it's like we're watching CBeebies or something. Just say it like this. I give you the words to say. Now, he's given us the words to say. Now, what does he say? Verses 4 to 8. Because what does he say to these people who spent the whole book of Hosea breaking his heart? Because he is, throughout the book of Hosea, he's totally brokenhearted that they could ever, that they've done this to him and they've wandered away from him. What does he say to these people? Because he could say, okay, right, you get your solicitor to arrange a meeting with my solicitor and they can negotiate and hammer out some kind of agreement, put some ground rules in place. And in the foreseeable future, it might be that, well, a few months down the line, if those negotiations go well, I might be amenable to scheduling a meeting with our representatives present. But first, before I can even stomach being in the same room as you, I want you to pay this much in damages. I want you to publicly retract those slanderous statements you made about me. And I don't even think that you're getting your hands on that beach house or any financial compensation from me. He could be like that. But there's nothing like that with the Lord Jesus. Even after all that's happened, he really wants the relationship to work. And he's just like, that's it. I'm totally committed to the relationship. I just want you to come back to me. And it'll all be sorted. That's it. He's like, we won't talk about it anymore. We won't bring it up again. We won't drag up the past. Now my focus is just to turn everything around. And you see that in verse 4. And to heal your waywardness. So it's not just, I'll forget about it. It's not just, I'll forget about it. Because we know that when we've done those things, we are damaged by our wanderings. He knows that we've learned certain patterns of behavior and they've become ingrained, and how we deal with things when we're frustrated or lonely or hungry or tired or whatever, what we reach for to make us feel alive. To turn that around, you have to find new patterns of behavior, and people can say, well, it can take a long time to break those patterns of behavior and install new ones, which can be true. But here Jesus is saying, don't worry about that. The thing is, come to me, get back with me. Don't worry about that, because we'll easily fix that. I'll help you break those patterns and get new things installed. I'll heal that. I'll heal your brain and your life. And I'm able to do that. And then he says, and I'll love you freely. No matter what's happened in the past, I'll love you freely. And I know what you're like. I do know what you're like. Right deep down, right to the depths, I know what you're like, really. But I'll love you freely. And I'm not even angry anymore. And when we hear that, we would be like, what? You're not even angry anymore? Because how can the passionate anger of the eternal living God, surely nothing could calm that anger? What could soothe that divine fury? And the Lord says, I'm not angry with you anymore. How can he not be angry with us anymore? But he's like, no, I'm not angry with you anymore. Don't worry about that. I'm not angry. Only I can save you from my anger. And I have done. So don't worry about that. And then he goes on to say, in verses 5 onwards, he goes on to say, things that are just beautiful. He responds with such overwhelming love and mercy and generosity. It's almost like, when you read this, it's almost like he's so excited. He doesn't even want to dwell on the past anymore at all. He's just like, now that we're back together, look at what's possible. I'll be like cool, refreshing morning rain to you. I'll give you deep foundations, deep roots that go down into the soil, and I'll make you fruitful, and you'll blossom into all that you were meant to be. And now that I've got you back, your life will take on like the flavour of Eden. Because he talks about these cedars of Lebanon, which we're told in Ezekiel 31:16, are like reminders of that garden paradise in Eden. So he's like, to me, you'll not be any kind of tree. You'll be like the fragrant cedars of Lebanon, like a flavour of paradise. And it's almost like he's saying, oh, see all those fertility cults that you were into? If you wanted fertility, if you wanted good life and good times, wine and drink and song, wine and food and song, if you wanted all that, all you had to do was come to me and ask. And I give you so much more than that. I give you my life and my fruitfulness. Do you want a life that's full of meaning and fruitfulness and purpose? A life that is passed on to others and gives life to others rather than draining others, gives life to others, blesses them. Do you want that kind of life? Because I can make that happen, Jesus says. And verse 8 is lovely because he says all the way through the book, the Lord Jesus has been having a go at Ephraim. And he's been singling him out as a symbol of the whole church. But here the Lord is like, Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? I don't want them around. They're absolute rubbish. They can't help you, but I answer and I'll look after you. So he's gone from, like, in chapter 13, he's gone from saying the guilt of Ephraim is stored up, his sins are kept on record. He's gone from that to saying, Ephraim, just get rid of all that stuff. Don't need it. I'll look after you. I'll care for you. I'll answer you and actually do what you've asked. That's what he's like. And then he says, I am like a flourishing juniper. See, he's like, you're always wanting to be evergreen and fruitful, but I am evergreen and fruitful. And your fruitfulness comes from me. And Jesus loves using all that kind of tree and plant language. And he does that often when he's talking about himself. Think of that time where he said, I am the true vine. If you remain in me, you'll bear much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Because Jesus is that blessed man, full of life, that we meet at the gateway to the Psalms. He is that blessed man, full of life and substance, who stands at the gateway to the Psalms. And the wicked have no substance. The slightest breeze blows them away. But Jesus is like a solid tree that has deep roots into water and bears fruit and grows up into the heavens. And he's full of life, and whatever he does prospers. And anyone who's connected to him is full of the life of God, the abundant life of the ages. That's what he'll be to you, to each one of us. If we want life and fruitfulness and wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can give that. He's the only one who can give that. And he does that generously, without holding back. If we just turn to him, call out to him. That's how each one of us can get that happily ever after. That's the answer. So that's it. That, here we are. That's Hosea. That's the last chapter. That's the happily ever after that we thought could never happen as we were reading through the book. But yet here it is. And that's the vision that's set before us. Why would we ever go off after anything else to feel alive when real life is available to us in the divine husband, this divine lover who will give up everything to set things right, to make this marriage work, to turn us around and give us a happily ever after with him forever? And maybe this morning you're thinking, I am that person who's too far away. And he's just too far away. I can't get back to him. There's too much mess to pick through. And he's too far away. He's too way in the distance. I'm never going to be able to reach him. He says today to each one of us, just return to me. Just turn towards me. Reach out to me. And I'll come running. And I'll pick you up. We'll be back together. And I'll give you my life, my fruitfulness. Everything that's mine is yours. All that I am, I share with you. All that I have, I give to you. That's what he's like. For each one of us today, will we call out to this divine lover, the Lord Jesus, and have with him healing and life and fruitfulness and happily ever after. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the honour, all the majesty, and all the love, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.